I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
All right, 1101, BT and Sal back here on The Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. So, I think what we know about the Yankees hit home runs, the Yankees win. Don't let it fool you.
Yeah.
You know, the Mets salvage barely a split with the Marlins. Don't let it fool you. These two teams aren't exactly racing down the tracks as they get ready for the Subway Series 2.0. Yanks are bleeding out a little bit. Mets are crawling a little bit here. At this point, it's really an act of like self-preservation more so than I don't know how any Yankee or Met fan could sit here and I'm not saying you can't enjoy the season, but how do you sit here and say, we're good to go? Neither team is anywhere near a championship.
No, and it's a week to the deadline. And the realization for me with the Mets is that they're not a championship team. Like, we all know that, but I started to get caught up and thinking, why put a ceiling on? You make the playoffs, you make the right moves, anything can happen. They're far from that, and they need to do a lot at the deadline. I'm very curious to see what they do. With the Yankees, I don't think they're a championship team either, but clearly they could be. If, you know, everything goes right for them, and you saw yesterday things go right for them, and then you envision that plus additions being made. The problem is, like, is Rodon going to be that the rest of the way? Would you trust that he's going to be that the rest of the way?
No.
How could you?
No.
Like, this is not an anti-Carlos Rodon thing. It's a reality thing. How could you trust that? That's what Rodon should be doing more often than not. And unfortunately, and it was a big game, and I give him credit for it, mm-hmm. and he was terrific. Unfortunately, that's been the outlier. Like, that needs to be happening more often. So I can't trust that. Do you trust that Soto's going to hit two homers, LeMahieu's going to hit a homer, like, and so on? You know what I mean? Like, that was a typical bully Yankee game.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's going right for them. They look great, feeling like things are back. Now let's see how they follow it up here. And what I think is a very important series and an important stretch. You got the Red Sox, you got the Phillies coming up ahead of the deadline. This is a big week here for both these teams as far as, forget about just the record, but where they are come trade deadline, because it's a very important trade deadline.
So right now, you think the Mets are going to buy, like, some ancillary pieces, yeah, kind of restock the cupboards on a lower level just to kind of stabilize the now,
okay,
without going nuts,
are
right?
Are we talking about what I think they're going to do or
yes,
what I want them to do?
Either or both.
I think they're going to be borderline buyers. They're going to add a bullpen arm or two, and I think that's it. I don't think the Mets are going to get nuts and add a bat, which I think they could certainly use. I don't think they're going to add a starting pitcher, which they could potentially use, because if you're going to send Christian Scott down because he hasn't been terrific, then maybe you need somebody else. I don't think they're going to sell anybody, which is what I would do.
Yep.
I wouldn't sell. I would change.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget what the Mets were coming into the year, what I believe that they are. Like, I want McNeil. Now that he's hot, trade him. Now's the time to trade him and maybe get something back for him. I would like them to trade Pete Alonso. I know it's not going to happen, but it's now or never. You're going to lose him for nothing at the end of the year. What's the return? I have no idea. Those are things that you have to figure out, that they have to figure out. And then even Edwin Diaz, did you watch him again last night?
I did.
You know what drives me nuts, dude? More than anything else, a pitcher who's got his head up his rear end and can't field his position.
Yeah, that was...
To ground ball back to the box.
Throw to second base.
I mean, what are you doing?
Well, nobody, Jeff McNeil was not covering second.
No.
Nobody was there.
But BT,
nobody was at second base.
He's indecisive. He doesn't...
Because nobody was at second base.
Throw the ball to first base.
That's right. Did you throw the ball to center field at that point? Honestly, Sal,
it's still not his fault.
Diaz was sloppy. Yeah. Nobody was at second base.
No, I don't want to hear it. Turn and fire the ball. If you should know where you're going with it.
I think he did, but when he looked, nobody was there.
Yeah, this is a repeated thing with Diaz. He cannot field his position right. And even just the way that he looked like he had no clue as to what's going on. And there should be no excuse in that spot. Ball's hit back to the box. You turn. If he's not there, you pivot immediately and throw the first. How's the guy beat that out?
That's a different part of the conversation.
It's because he's like, what do I do? And plus, he's playing with fire every single time, plus the injury, plus the lack of I just don't see a confident pitcher. Mm-hmm. I know that all closers are going to have issues,
yeah.
And I know that he's gotten the job done while playing with fire as of late. I just don't trust him. So if there's a way you could trade him and get rid of that contract, again, they're never going to do it. I'm just telling you what I would do to build this team.
I think I agree with you that the Mets will be borderline buyers, nothing nuts, but they'll add some, they'll do a little tweak. I also think that that's pretty smart when, you know, most people look at it, well, you either buy or you sell. I like how you position it. You can also change. I like that. That's a good way to view it.
Right?
I actually agree with that. I wouldn't buy full bore. I'm with you on the Pete stuff. I'm with you on the Diaz stuff. I'm with you on the Medial stuff. So I would sell. But I do think that there's a rearrangement, if you will, without being full-bore buyers or sellers that can actually benefit the Mets this year.
Right. Now, if you trade Diaz, that's not going to help you this year. I understand that. So I'm just trying to... I don't believe this team could do anything serious this year.
Nah, me neither.
Right, okay, and they're probably not going to do enough to buy to make it, like, legit. Now, could they get the top wild card? Yeah, they could, if everything goes well. So I understand where if you take Diaz off this team, you're hurting this team this year. If you take McNeil and Alonso off this team, you're not hurting them this year because those guys really haven't contributed. McNeil's starting to now.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe in them long term, like, do you believe in Jeff McNeil being a key part of this piece moving forward?
No.
So then why wouldn't you trade him now? Like, it makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Alonso. The time to trade him was last year, as they were trying to do. They didn't. And now what? Now he's got minimal value. But if you take Alonso off this team right now, you're losing the potential of what he could be. But he hasn't been that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just would look to... And if you don't trade Alonso now, then what?
Then it's like qualifying offer or nothing.
You lose him for nothing. Okay, yeah. Fine. Now, maybe they can't get anything back for him anyway, so it's worth holding on to him for the potential of him going nuts the second half of the year and riding it out. Okay, I could understand that, but I'd be using this as an opportunity to change my ball club for the better for now and in the future.
I get that. You know, something else, because you were talking about the bat flips and how it's gotten, you know, under your skin,
yeah.
Which I get, although it's never going to change. I certainly agree with you. It's got a little bit much. Something else happened last night. You know, you asked me if I watched the game,
yeah.
And I saw this, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. Talk about, like, symbolism of how the games change. Diaz was on the ropes. Mm-hmm. He was getting a little messy. You could feel it.
Yeah.
You know, defensively, he was a mess. He was way out of the strike zone.
God.
And I believe it was a 2-0 count, and it was a slider that was nowhere near the strike zone. And I forget who the batter was. Swung.
Yeah.
Dude, you're down 3 runs.
Yeah, come on.
He hasn't thrown a strike in 7 or 8 pitches, and you're swinging from your heels on a ball that's a foot and a half outside. It was ridiculous. But I did like this, because I don't want to get too, into the game. Nobody cares at this point. You watched it or you didn't. I love Alvarez.
Yeah, he's
Did you see his disposition, the way he was, like, imploring him, but, like, he kept banging his chest and banging his mitt, like, let's go. He is such a leader.
Yep.
I love Alvarez. I really do.
I'm with you on that. You know how I feel about him? The confidence, all those different things. He's got that leadership. You want that specifically as a catcher. You want it on your team, that confidence, unafraid of anybody. Now, he's got to have a career. He's got to put a season together and then multiple seasons together. But, yeah, the early signs on him, I think he's been huge for this team and huge for the pitching staff.
Okay, so just to finish the thought on the Mets and the Yanks, we'll get back to these calls. 888-808-1019. Speak to you and Sal. Johnny Damon up next here. Hope he doesn't call me a yes man. All right, so the Mets will be borderline buyers. I agree. What do you rate the Yankees? What do you expect them? You know, full in.
I think they're going to be buyers. I'm still not sold that they're going to trade Spencer Jones or a top guy. Like, they'd be nuts to trade Dominguez, and I wouldn't go nuts trading those guys either, because I don't believe in this team. But I do believe that they've made moves like trading for Soto that are indicative of being all in now. And if you're going to be all in, hard as the Yankees to pivot from that and not buy. So while I would do it differently, I do believe they're going to be buyers.
I think that the Yankees will have two new prominent, you know, really well-known, really established players on their team a week from today.
How about the Orioles getting that dude from the Tigers?
The pitcher?
Yeah.
Well, the Yankees are rumored to be going after him as well. And apparently they're beginning to thaw on their thought of giving up Spencer Jones to get him. Hey, I watched him in the All-Star game. He was sick.
You're going to have to give up Spencer Jones to get him.
Yeah, and I would. Yeah. I would. I think the Yankees have minimally a position player of note, whether it's, and again, I don't think it's going to be McMahon, but I throw his name out there because I think you can maybe entice them because they're terrible.
Yeah.
McMahon or Chisholm, like a top starter and a top arm.
The big three
Big
three names that we've heard were McMahon, Vladdy, and Jazz, right?
I mean, I don't think Vladdy's happening.
I'm just saying one of those. So you think one of those three and a big arm.
Or some another big prominent name that I'm just that not aware of that's made available.
Let me ask you this. If the Yankees could make two moves, only two moves, only doesn't matter how big, how small, whatever, what would you want?
Okay, so let me see. I've got to look at the rest of the lineup here. So
it basically comes down to what you want, because if you only have two moves to make, you're not adding bullpen, right?
No. Okay. Oh, well, I don't know that that's true.
Okay, well, then answer, because I know that you would want at least...
I'll tell you what I would want. First of all, they need another bat on a big town. They need a bat.
Right. So it's either two bats or a bat and an arm somewhere else.
Or it could be two arms, some people think. I would go big bat, and I would go flamethrower out of the pen. They need somebody who's going to strike some guys out.
Interesting.
They don't have that. Everybody pitches to contact back
but
there.
But that starting rotation, man. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to then rely on, I might go two bats. And just
try to outslug people?
Oh, just because, I mean, at least you could roll the dice and hope that Heel, Rodon, Stroman...
No, don't forget about Gerrit Cole.
Cole, he's the given. So I'm giving you Gerrit Cole.
But some people don't think he's a given yet. I say that. Yeah. I think he's starting to look like Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, no, I felt Cole was the given.
Gotcha.
So I'm going to count on him as the given.
Yeah.
And then you have to hope that maybe two of the other guys,
Clark Schmidt
coming back. Right, so Clark Schmidt potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Stroman, I think, could be serviceable. I'm talking about postseason.
I know what you're saying.
So do I roll the dice with that? Or add two bats, or add a legitimate arm and then push all those guys back. You have Cole and then whatever arm they add,
mm-hmm.
push all the others back. Now you're formidable at the starting rotation, live with the bullpen, even move Heel to the bullpen. You could strengthen that and then add one big bat. And then you're relying on Dominguez / Stanton / whatever, if Rizzo comes back. I just feel like they have too many holes. And I don't think it's going to be just, they need more than just two moves, but how could it be more than that? Especially big moves.
But they don't need two moves. They don't need more than two moves if, you know, Volpe is stable and he's in the early forms of, I think, stabilizing it here.
Austin Wells.
I was going there. Austin Wells is going to hit 15 home runs this year.
Yeah.
He's going to finish.
He's
that.
Done nothing for the first few months, but
because
you can start
he didn't
to
play
see.
Regularly. Like you never want to see anybody go down. But Trevino's presence, and I get it. There's a trust, and there's a reliability, and there's a comfort level with a veteran catcher. And Austin Wells is certainly not a horrendous catcher, but he's not Pudge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think he ever will be. He's here for a stick. That's his calling card. But I think now with Trevino out, again, I don't want to see anybody get hurt, but his name, I mean, batted fourth yesterday.
Right.
He's going to be in a lineup every single day, and he's going to get in the. He is a hitter. He is going
to
hit.
So if, I mean, look.
I've always said that to you, Sal.
But if he is, and again, it's a big if. I know you think he's going to hit, but I mean, he hasn't.
Well, until it happens, I'll give you, it's a big if.
But I got you. But you're seeing the difference it can make when he starts to contribute. I mean, just him and Volpe alone adding to Judge and Soto.
Correct.
Now at least you have
something.
And then you could factor in potentially Stanton coming back.
Dominguez,
and the same old story. Yeah, but.
Maybe, you know, Ben Rice. Yeah, I mean, but you have to get the other. If you get the other bat, there is a move or two that can transform this lineup from incredibly erratic and unreliable to dominant. Like, there are moves to be made. It's not like, well, I don't know if anybody's going to be out there. There's studs that are going to be available. Go get them.
Right. I guess the bottom line, though, is whichever way you slice it, ultimately, and you could say this for the Mets, too, with certain guys, but ultimately, with the Yankees, they're going to make some moves and they need to. If the guys that they have here don't do their jobs, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Whether that's Wells, whether it's Volpe, whether it's Rodon, whoever. If the guys that they have here that haven't been doing their jobs well enough for 6 weeks, if they don't at some point do their job, I don't care who they bring in, it's not going
to
be enough.
Let's get back to the phones, obviously. Hit some Jet stuff as well. Camp is underway. All the pressure, all the... You know, it's funny. For a team that's done nothing, I mean, people think the Jets are going to do a lot this year. I am among those people, but as we know, until they actually do it, they haven't done it. Ellen is in Tom's River. BT and Sal. Ellen, how you doing today?
Hey, good. How you guys doing?
All right.
What's up, Ellen?
Hey, so you were talking about Alvarez and how great he was behind the plate for Diaz last night. I loved him, and I hate to say past tense, but because he was so on, he was so reliable at the plate, sure, he was great last night trying to, you know, focus Diaz after the mess that he created. But he's useless at the plate anymore. He's not focused. He's yapping it up with the umpire. Like, you know, I think he's on something.
Well, he's on what? Drugs? I mean, he's on something.
I mean, he's not focused. He used to be so locked in when he was at the plate. And he hasn't done anything. I mean, I know that their offense has been weak since the All-Star break.
Well, Ellen, I mean, that's...
I'm sure games. I mean, we're not going to go nuts over that. I mean, Alvarez on the year has been terrific for this team when healthy. I mean, what more do you want?
Jeez, he's on something? I mean, is this how cavalier we're going to get with the goals? I think he's on something. I mean, is Volpe on something because he's been invisible for the last 6 weeks? We know Hoff might be on something, but that's different.
Wouldn't being on something help you be more focused?
Depends what it is.
Yeah, okay.
Honestly,
well,
it depends what it is.
Don't do drugs, never have, never will. Look at it, BT. Alvarez, okay, so he struggled since coming back, but overall, I mean, since coming back from the break, it's four games.
What's his exact numbers on the year? I don't have him in front of me.
Batting average, 279.
Okay.
Four homers. But he's played, you know, missed a lot of time. 24 ribbies and OPS 797.
Okay, he's fine. And that's after they've dropped, after being a little quiet out of the All-Star break.
Right. They'll go back up a little bit. He'll be fine. Alvarez is going to be.
I love him.
Yeah, me too.
I'm a huge fan. John's in Hoboken with BT and Sal. What's going on, John?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah. I know before Sal was talking about, you know, didn't believe in the Jets because they haven't made the playoffs in however many years. A couple years ago, Bucks won it. That was the first time they had made the playoffs since 2007. Same thing, old quarterback, high-stakes roster.
No offense to Aaron Rodgers, and I love Aaron Rodgers. It's not the same thing when you talk about Tom Brady.
You don't think the players in the locker room have the same level of respect for Rodgers they do for Brady?
I think Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback to ever live and the greatest winner. You can't say that Rodgers is going to do what Brady did.
I'm not guaranteeing it, but I'm saying that there's something similar that's gone on. And to say, you know, you wanted to blow it up, I've seen freaking 15 blows up in my life. You know, I mean, you can't not see it through. We've been waiting for a quarterback since Joe Namath. I mean,
well, I didn't say you had to get rid of Rodgers. I didn't say you had to get rid of Rodgers. And by the way, the big difference with the not only Brady versus Rodgers, but Bruce Arians was a real head coach. Like, come on. And you're talking about Robert Saleh. Anyway, I said blow it up as far as the head coach and the offensive coordinator. Now, BT, I remember you and I talking about it specifically, and I was like, yeah, they're not going to do that because of Rodgers. And you said, well, I don't care. Rodgers is going to have to either play with this group or not, whoever you hire. Now, they didn't do that. When I say blow it up, I meant don't placate Aaron Rodgers and just turn the entire franchise over to him. Get rid of the head coach who I know isn't good enough. Get rid of the offensive coordinator who I know isn't good enough. That's what I mean. You want to keep the quarterback, fine, but get a real head coach in here.
I mean, that would be nice. I do think these guys, these young players, I think they revere Rodgers. I can't possibly measure how much more than Brady, how much less than Brady. I mean, Brady's the greatest winner in the history of sports. I mean,
but I'm talking about the results.
No, I understand that, but I thought John made a good point because one of the things we're leaning on, at least I think a lot of people, there's this... You know, it's not a reluctance out of want. It's an inability to push it forward with conviction because of what the Jets have been, which we all understand. And John's point was, well, you know, until you got Brady in here, it was somewhat similar. And he's very right. And you go back to now different coaches, different quarterbacks, and Brady offset some deficiencies, understood. But, you know, the Bucks were 4-12. I'm going in ascending order. 4-12, 2-14, 6-10, 9-7, 5-11, 5-11, 7-9 Super Bowl champs. So it's a very improbable course.
Yeah.
Listen, do I remember every player on those rosters? No. In terms of Tampa, do I think that would I put money on the fact that I think that the Jets have more talent, you know, roster than that? I think so.
So what was their record Brady's first year?
Brady's first year was... Well, they won the Super Bowl.
Right. What was their record?
11-5.
Okay. And how old was Brady?
I guess he was 40. I mean, I don't have that in front of me.
40, hold on. I can actually pull it up.
Maybe 41, 42.
Brady was 43.
Okay.
In his first year with the Bucs, and they were 11-5 and won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And what did the Jets do in Rodgers' first year?
Well, he didn't play.
wait, that's my fault?
I didn't say it was your fault. So play.
So it's the same thing.
No, but I'm talking more about a culture. Like a culture. It's not like there was a, like, it's not like the Bucks were just knocking on the door and here comes Brady and he pushes them over. I'm not arguing. Brady's Brady. I get that. But the Bucks were really down. That meaning you have failed draft picks, you have a losing culture.
Right.
And one man, does one man change everything?
No. No, but the head coach as well. Bruce Arians is a legitimate.
Well, I get you that part.
Yeah.
I get you.
But that's a big part.
I'm not really arguing with you here. I'm just saying, the Bucks lost a lot before the Super Bowl.
Two differences in the argument. One, Bruce Arians versus Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
Two, Tom Brady and all his Super Bowls in comparison to Rodgers, who won one Super Bowl. And I love Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
There's a big difference.
I know there is, but keep in mind, the last pass that he threw before he went to the Bucs was a pick six in a playoff game.
I remember.
And that was not easy. People thought he was done. The Pats didn't want him.
I remember well because I had the Pats in a teaser.
A little money on that?
Yeah, I had the Pats in a teaser, and the pick six ended up costing me.
Teaser's a sucker play.
Yeah,
stop
I know.
The teasers.
My uncle told me that since
five,
I know. I
got
to stop. I did stop. I told you.
That's right.
Haven't placed.
Until this season.
Haven't.
We jump back in with fervor.
I know, if I have to as a team, what could go wrong?
We're going
to
ride him and Daniel Jones, and how much you believe in DJ. BT and Sal on the Fan. Johnny Damon, a little Subway series. We're going to talk with him coming up next on the Fan. All right, BT and Sal back on the Fan. It's 11:28. Subway Series 2.0 begins tonight. Yanks got to get a little payback here. Got to get a little payback. And to help us get into it, and we did this with the Mets. We had some of their big guns, Piazza, David Wright, Matt Harvey.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's the Yankees' turn as they host. We had David Wells yesterday. Today, Johnny Damon's in the house. Johnny, it's BT and Sal. How you doing today, bud?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic, guys. Up in the Boston area. I know there's a lot of great series going on. I'm up for the Yankee-Red Sox series in a couple days. So it's exciting to be back up here in Boston.
All right. Well, it's more exciting when you're down here in New York. Let's be honest. Boston. Screw Boston. Who cares about Boston, Johnny? Nah, I'm just messing with you, bud.
No, I hear you. I hear you. But that's why this is a great rivalry. And I'm glad that I was loved and hated in both areas. So, and I was fortunate enough to win for both teams. So it's a love-hate thing for everybody with me.
Listen, we love you. I guess partially hate you as well. But, your baseball journey is amazing. And we all know how good you were. I didn't realize, and maybe you've spoken to this, and if you have, I don't mean to be repetitive. I'm very curious, though. Very few players get to basically 2,800 hits like you did and then hang them up. You know better than me, but was your body that beat up where you couldn't stretch it out and try to get to 3,000? That's Hall of Fame.
Oh, not at all, man. My body is still tip-top shape. I have my hydration drink. I always bring my A game, and that's my drink. But I wanted to keep on playing. But, the money ball, the sabermetrics, all that BS pretty much got me out of the game because I could still hit good pitching. But I had a really good year with Tampa Bay. I could not get signed until May 1st. And when you miss 10 weeks of the season, spring training, first week, obviously you're not going to be ready to rock and roll. So I was playing golf, hanging with the boys, and then I get the call, try to come back, and it took me about 100 at-bats to be ready. And as soon as I was ready, I get released by Cleveland, and then I head back home to Florida. So unfortunately, that's how it ended for me, but I'm still playing soccer every Sunday. I've got 8 kids who are keeping me super busy, and so I have to stay young. I have to stay fit, and it's unfortunate.
Wow. Where are we at with the facial hair and the hair? What's that looking like these days, Johnny?
Oh, I got facial hair. I got my long hair. I'm competing against my 7-year-old son, Dash Johnny Damon, and he's got flowing locks, and we'll be rocking it up in Fenway Park in a couple of days.
Oh, you're going to the little Yankees Red Sox, are you?
Yes, we are. Yeah, we'll be there. My kids haven't seen a game at Fenway. They have seen a game at Yankee Stadium, but this is going to be a very cool experience for them, and just out and about, pumping my drink A game, and that's why I'm up in this area now.
And what will the family be rooting for? Who will the family be rooting for, Red Sox or Yankees, Johnny?
I'm going to let them decide because it's tough. They have their own opinions. You know, I'm not going to be political, but they get to decide who they want without any ill will from my stuff, because I don't know who I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for a lot of the guys in the back of the jerseys. You know, I think Soto has done amazing things for the Yanks, and Aaron Judge obviously is incredible. But I love watching Jaron Durant for the Red Sox. So he reminds me of somebody much younger than myself.
Yeah, he's got his passions also. So, by the way, we're talking to Johnny Damon here, BT and Sal on the Fan. So, you know, those Yankee teams back in the day, obviously 09 before
you
that,
the
Red Sox teams, they had great players, clearly, but they just had gamers. You know, you watch the Yankees, and we know that they have a couple of great players. Do they have enough dogs? Are there enough gamers on this team? I feel like I watch them, and I feel like they don't. But what about you?
Do the Yankees have enough gamers?
Yep.
I think they need to be healthy, because look what happened once Stanton got hurt. They started losing some games. But the Red Sox, they have a lot of young kids that they're not tired after the All-Star break. So I know they lost their first couple coming back from the break. But if these guys can have some confidence, we have our 2003-2004 Yankee-Red Sox going after it again, and everybody loved that time in baseball. It was definitely one of the greatest times, and we'll see what happens.
You know, Johnny, you experienced, as you said, the highest of highs for both the franchises with the Red Sox and Yankees. Which one felt better for you?
Well, nothing can compete against the World Series for the Red Sox. I mean, after 86 years, heartache and heartbreak year after year, and then finally doing it was amazing. But you obviously winning in 09 was great for me personally, winning with the Red Sox and being on the same in the same sentence as Babe Ruth and I as the only two starters who have won for both franchises. But, I mean, it's been 15 years since the Yankees have been back. I mean, I know I helped break the curse of the Bambino. Maybe I started another curse of Johnny Damon for the Yankees, but we'll see what they can do. I mean, I've been rooting for them. I do like the team, but damn, they got rid of me at a time when we just won a championship. So it's definitely tough for me to say. Like, I believe we could have won some more. I helped bring CeCe to the team. I helped bring AJ Burnett, and then we only spent 1 year together, a championship year together, but I don't know. I do believe I was a much better baseball player than they thought.
Yeah, well, this sounds like you should have a little beef with Cashman. I mean, because unless it was a Torrey, was it like you have to have a thought as to why they jettisoned you and didn't bring you back? Because I don't disagree. There was still some winning to do with that team. What happened? What was the problem?
Well, they all loved me. Girardi loved me. Kevin Long loved me. The team loved me. But
I said Torrey. I meant Girardi. My bad. My bad.
Yeah. So, obviously. So we didn't have much of a negotiation. They came at me 2 years, 14 after coming off that year, and I wanted to negotiate and reach a contract, but you know, unfortunately, they brought back Nick Johnson, and the rest is history. You know. I went to Detroit, had a great time hanging out with Kid Rock and Chris Chelios. And then I went closer to home and hung out with, Tampa Bay. I got to drive home every now and then. So my time in New York was fantastic. I love it. But unfortunately, things just don't work out the way you want them to. And therefore, that's why I'm sitting on a boat here in Hingham, Mass. right now.
And Johnny, like you experienced, the Subway Series tonight. I know you experienced, obviously, the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry at its peak from both sides of it. How about Subway Series? And at your time, when you first got to the Yankees, the Mets were in control here in 2006. They were the better team in town. But do you have any memories of the Subway Series or how you felt about that rivalry?
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. I believe in 09 was the best when we saw CeCe, like, hitting, and that was awesome because CC was a great hitter, and we dominated in 09. And I loved going to the new ballpark. I know Shea was sexy older, but I really loved the Mets City Field. It was a great ballpark. I think it was a great ballpark for families, and I can't wait to go back there one day, and hopefully I'll be able to take my family and enjoy every special moment they have there. And obviously, I love Yankee Stadium, that short right field porch that, you know, I got the first hit there. We win a championship there. You can't top it.
You know, I think, Johnny, maybe after hearing this interview, Steve Cohen of the Mets should invite you out there to throw out a first pitch. The curse of Johnny Damon! The Yankees have not been back to a World Series since. Even the Mets have been to a World Series in 2015.
And lost.
Yeah, to my Royals, but I did root for the Mets in 86, and who would have known that it was against my Red Sox team. The reason why I wore number 18 was because of Darryl Strawberry, and then 18 years later in 2004, we win. 86-year curse, and the Mets won in 86. So I love the Mets, and I love the history. I love throwing out numbers to everybody because I'm the only one who thinks about it.
Wow, that is some fascinating stuff right there. Hey, maybe I got to get on this A-game drink, too. I mean, look at all those numbers and math you're throwing out there, Johnny. I like it.
Absolutely. I mean, you got to bring your A-game every single moment of your day, whether you're a parent, a teacher, a radio host, and, you know, also an athlete. You always hear the athletes talk about, I brought my A game or I didn't bring my A game, but when they bring their A game, they normally win.
That is good. John, before I let you go, I think the fans will probably enjoy, listeners enjoy hearing this. Your all-time three favorite Yankee teammates.
Oh, well, Jason Giambi was the absolute best. I played with him in Oakland, obviously, but, let's see. A-Rod and I go back to when we were 14 years old, and A.J. Burnett, I mean, I recruited his ass so much in 2008 and 2009 to join me with the Yankees, and we ended up winning, but there's so many guys. I mean, I love Jeter, I love Posada, I love Mo, I love all those guys. So it's really tough when we are asked those questions because I was friends with everybody.
Yeah,
the clubhouses were always great, and so it's really tough to answer that question because I love all my teammates.
I get it, but here's what I've learned during the interview, because listen, being out of New York, WFAN, all we do is talk, you know, why hasn't Cashman built the championship team? Well, since 09, what you've told us, he didn't even build the 2009 championship team. You did. You recruited CC, you recruited Burnett. What the hell did Cashman even do back then?
I mean, I do what I can for my team, for my players, because we are all family. And, yeah, it's unfortunate I didn't come back. But, you know, they had other ways to try to build the team. And it's tough winning a championship. I mean, the teams they've been putting on the field, they have been fantastic. But it is so hard to win. And that's what we tend to forget. Like, when you have a dynasty like the Yankees had in the late 90s, early 2000s, it's tough to build that, and they had a great run, but adding a guy like Soto, it's huge because this guy is a ball player, and we've been admiring him since he broke into the big leagues at the age of 19.
Well, listen, man, we loved watching you. I would imagine, just based on what others have said and how you played, you must have been an awesome teammate. Great baseball journey, two championships, couple of All-Star games, first-round pick back in the day. Really good chat, and you seem like a regular dude, so thanks for hopping on there, Johnny. We appreciate you, dude.
Hey, always have fun, guys. All my best to you, and can't wait to watch this game on Friday night.
Yep, and what's the name of the drink again? Give us one more pop for you.
It's called A-Game.
There you go.
Go to drinkagame.com. I've got Tyler Adams on my team. I got Bo Jackson. I have Jorge Masvidal, Barry Thompson, top wide receiver going to Auburn. So, yeah, we are getting ready to crush it, and I know you guys don't like to hear the word grand slam from Johnny Damon, but it's going to be a grand slam. It tastes great. No artificial flavors, coloring, sugars from natural honey.
So everyone go out there and give it a try and check this out.
I'm going to specifically get that grand slam by Johnny Damon. I love to see that as a Met fan. What, are you kidding me, Johnny? Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Thank you, guys.
Hold on. I'm the Yankee fan here, so let me say, it wasn't so much the grand slam. It was when somebody said Vasquez or Kevin Brown. That's what really drove us nuts, dude. All right, man.
Totally understand.
Thanks,
guys,
Johnny.
Have a great
Thanks, man.
Weekend.
All right, you too, Johnny.
You too. That's that guy's
smile
loving
on my face
life.
Right there.
He is loving life, Johnny.
How about that? What a happy guy.
Eight kids. Oh, everybody. Like, Johnny's just, I don't know if he has many enemies in the game, but I feel like he walked into any clubhouse. Everybody loved him because he played hard. He played well. I think he hung out, you know, not like a lunatic back in the day. I think he was just, he's a dude's dude.
You know, it's funny that he said the Moneyball stuff, because before we get him on, I'm looking up the baseball reference page. And I'm like, man, I remember Damon being a good player, but you look at the numbers and they don't jump off the charts at you. Like, obviously, he didn't have a ton of power. Average was his big thing. You know, he hit 284.
Stole bases.
18-year big league career, he hit 284. Like, guys just don't do that anymore.
What was his OPS? Do you have that?
Yeah. Career OPS, 785.
All right, for a center fielder, when center fielders didn't, you know, that's what I'm saying.
Stole a bunch of bases, as you said, and obviously in later years not going to steal as many bases, but he's right. They devalued what he did well, which is put the bat on the ball and get base hits and hit for an average. So even the year that he left the Yankees to go to Detroit, or they didn't want him back, he hit 271 that year, had a decent year. I like Damon as a player. The one thing that sticks out to me, aside from like the hair and the big home run, he had no arm.
He didn't have much of an arm.
No. Like, no.
Yeah, he had no
arm. Like, he could not throw.
Yeah. I mean, why are you going to start dissing him? Why don't you say that?
No, I'm just saying.
At least I had the stones to stand up to David Wells. Here you are kissing Johnny's ass.
And
you hang up, you say he had a noodle for an arm.
Yeah, what do you want me to say? Hey, Johnny, I loved you, but your arm sucked? I'm not going to say that.
I told Wells that he was a wise ass. You know, he made life tough for Torrey.
We got the A-game grand slam. Do we have the A-game Johnny Damon's arm?
I don't know if there's any highlights of the arm. No, he definitely looped it. That was the one tool he did. I'll tell you what, though, he had a little, like, when he for a little, by the way, I was going to say for a little guy, 6'2", 205.
Man, that's not little.
It's not little. Next to some of those roid heads that he played with, but wasn't really little.
Good player, but what a great attitude. Man, I want to hang out. Remember I talked about yesterday being on vacation? I didn't really feel like I reached peak happiness.
You did
I don't
say
know if
that,
I'm ever going to be happy.
Well, you also said you don't know if you'll ever reach peak happiness, which is a different discussion.
I want that kind of happiness.
You'll never have it.
You feel that happiness through the phone?
Yeah, but you'll never have that.
Will you have that?
Probably not.
Is it because of the millions?
No. I mean, I'm pretty happy, but listen, man. I mean, how much did Johnny make? Hold on. So Johnny,
it can't just be about the money.
No, it's not. I'm not trying to. No, I'm definitely not saying that.
He's just loving life.
Well, okay, but you, the license to love life is there.
I know, but he made me happy. Like, his happiness was infectious right there.
Let's see. Hold on. So Johnny Damon. So was I. Johnny Damon made. I mean, guy made $111 million.
It's a lot easier to be happy with $111 million in the bank.
It's not going
to
make you happy, but it can enhance the happiness.
I also
think he's just a naturally happy dude.
Agreed.
And you're not.
Yeah, and that's what I'm envious of. Because let's just say, hypothetically, we had that much money.
Right. Yeah.
Like, would you say, okay, well, I don't want to do this job anymore.
I would do a podcast and I would coach high school baseball. That's all I would do.
And maybe that would be your happy zone. See, I don't know what I want.
So happy.
Like, a part of me would be like, I want to go to Hawaii and live there. And then
I'd get bored after that.
And then I'd be like, no, I want to be back on the fan.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm back on the fan. I'm like, I don't want to deal with this. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you mean.
So it's not the money.
Yeah, but you don't think that he misses playing?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he sounded pretty freaking happy. He didn't sound like he missed it too much. Aside from not being with the Yankees after 2009.
If you watch this, you hear us. Could this guy ever be remotely happy? Like, when it's all said and done?
I feel like I'm a happy
person.
No, come on, that's not true.
I'm not going to be happy either, so don't worry about
it.
It's not just you.
But are we just all miserable here?
Don't speak for yourself. I'm pretty happy.
Well, I have to say I'm
You're never going to be that happy, though.
Well, I admit that. I do admit that. That's probably a level of happiness I will not touch. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the fan. He is a great guy. All right, BT and Sal back on the fan. Fanatics Fest NYC is taking over the Javits Center. We'll be out there actually doing our show. And it's August 16th through the 18th. Right now, call their number 10 if you guys want to go and hang out, walk around, bump into some big shots like Sal. 866 or Stugatz.
You going to be there?
He might be at this rate. He thinks he's going to take over the station still. Got news for you, buddy. Not. 866-540-WFAN. 866-540-9326. That's your chance to win a four-pack of tickets and be part of the first ever immersive sports fan festival at Fanatics Fest. From our friends at Fanatics Live, visit FanaticsFest.com for the full athletic lineup. All right, Johnny Damon, it was great. Let's get back to you. Subway Series tonight. All the Jet conversation to start the show. We'll get to some Saquon Barkley Giant stuff a little later. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal. Johnny up in the Bronx. What's happening, Johnny?
What's up, boys? Love the show. How's it going?
Everything is great, buddy. Thank you. What's up?
Good. Before we start, I want to talk about the Giant Dame. He's a great interview. But, Sal, question for you. How come you moved to Jersey? Was it more of a commuting thing? Or
yeah.
Because I don't live too far from him. I'm in Massapequa. Were you near where Gio lives over there?
Where what now?
Where Gio lives?
I was in Suffolk County. I was in Ronkonkoma on Long Island. The commuting thing was the main factor, but there were other reasons. And I'm loving every second of Jersey. I got to be honest with you.
Told you.
As somebody from Long Island who loves Long Island and will always have a special place to me, if more people from Long Island knew what Jersey had to offer.
Told you.
Like, I leave in rush hour, and it's not an issue now. Rush hour from my house. From Long Island, it would take me 3 hours. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, because I actually work in the Bronx, so I'm on the road like 5:30. So that's why I was at. I know Gio was out a little bit before me. Long story short, I'm a Bronx guy, but I ended up in Long Island because my wife's from Howard Beach. She took me out to the island. I should have been in Westchester. And what's funny, my brother's actually looking for a place.
Hey, Johnny,
in Jersey.
How about you tell us about your high school playing career next? Come on, buddy. Let's go. Come on, man.
And company and the barbecue you guys were at. Anyway, listen, Johnny Damon, he was an unbelievable player. Yankees, he killed us. But he also helped us in 2009. Mm. I actually want to let you guys know, too, he was on that show Below Deck. I don't know if you guys were able to ask him that. He is living the life. I want his life like you guys.
What's Below Deck?
I don't know what that is. What is that? A fishing show?
Look it up. It's a show on Bravo. I think he's where you rent the yacht. God knows how much he paid for it, but he has a ball on there. He just goes crazy, but he puts back. I follow on Instagram. He does so much for the community, little kids. You guys already know all this stuff, but yeah, I mean, if he would have played a couple more years, that's definitely Hall of Fame, regardless.
It is amazing how short he was there, John.
And thanks for the call, John. Crazy. I don't know, BT.
What?
You think
he gets 3,000?
You think it's automatic?
I think a couple of championships being vital to the Red Sox breaking the curse. I think they find a way to get
him. Let me ask you, though.
Yep.
You think Johnny Damon was a Hall of Famer?
No.
Okay, me neither. So if he got 3,000 hits and I asked you that same question, would your answer be different? Or would it be a no, but...
It would be no, but an acknowledgement that the voting process has changed. Yeah. And the benchmark, I mean, who has 500 home runs and 3,000 knocks? That's not in.
That's what I mean. It used to
Nobody.
Be five. Well, aside from, Rafael Palmeiro.
Well, I'm not talking about the cheats.
Right, okay. But it used to be 500 homers, 3,000 hits was an automatic Hall of Famer.
Sure.
It's just not like that anymore.
Well, because nobody gets 3,000 hits anymore.
Yeah, well.
I mean, that's part of it. Like, I'm popping this up.
Why, is it harder to get hits all of a sudden?
No, I just think number one. No, I mean,
give me
I think
like, well, like
guys get hurt more. I think they swing for the fences more, so they strike out more.
How many hits did Joe Mauer have? Did he have over 3,000?
No,
right? Yeah, okay,
no. So. But Joe was a power hitting catcher. Not really power hitting. More, 350, 360, couple of batting titles. I mean, listen, Ted Williams doesn't have 3,000 hits.
Yeah.
He was also in World War II as a pilot.
Yeah, well, I understand. I'm just trying to go based off of some recent guys who I don't think should be Hall. Like, I don't think Joe Mauer is a Hall of Famer.
I do.
Scott
I actually
Rowland.
Do. I go back to in real time. Scott Rowland, no.
2000, yeah.
No, 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 not for Scott. I remember watching Mauer and Morneau as well. Not that I think Morneau's a Hall of Famer, but that Twins team that always played the Yankees in the playoffs, even though the Yankees always squashed him. Like, I looked at Mauer and I'm like, he feels like a Hall of Famer. Look at some of his averages, dude.
Yeah,
360.
Yeah.
It's a catcher.
What was his career average?
I don't have it in front of me.
I got
three change for sure.
I got it here.
What was it?
I'm just looking at Roland and Mauer's numbers. I wanted to see. Career average, 306.
I mean, Donnie's 307. Keith is about 290-something.
He didn't strike out. Mauer would put the,
correct.
He was an old-school guy that would put the, I still never looked at him as a Hall of Famer.
I mean, it's, I can understand the other side. Listen, there's a lot of players who are in the Hall of Fame who don't have 3,000 hits, like, Brooks Robinson, Pudge Rodriguez, Griffey Jr. never got there. Luke Appling is a name from years ago, obviously. Frank Robinson, I mean, he had power, but didn't have 3,000 hits. It is amazing. Roberto Clemente right on the number.
Yeah, 3, I know.
That is amazing.
2,700 hits, almost 2,800 for Damon. I mean, that's,
whatever. I just don't, I never looked at him as a Hall of Famer, but I did look at him as an impactful player.
Yeah, me too.
But I also, like, to my point, I never looked at Maurer or Roland, just to name a couple, as necessarily Hall of Famers.
Yeah, I mean, did you look at Craig Biggio's Hall of Famer? Who's, the answer's no. Did you? More?
I don't know,
okay,
man.
But what if Craig Biggio, instead of having 3,000-something hits, like 3,050 hits or 60, what if he had 2,876?
God, even Todd Helton only had 2,500 hits. He played in Colorado.
I don't have a problem with Todd Helton getting in.
Me neither. But the fact that he only got 2,500. What was the one you were asking me before that?
Biggio. Instead of having 3,060 hits, which obviously gets him in, and you could debate still if he should be, but he is, so it doesn't matter. What if he finished with 2,893? If I say, hey, is Biggio? Most people still don't really think he's a Hall of Famer.
I think it probably put him over the top.
I agree with you. And I think that would have done the same for Johnny Damon.
He led the league in run, scored a couple of times. Yeah, I mean, but Biggio was a much more impactful player than Johnny Damon.
Not to the Red Sox fans, he was. I mean, there's other things that, it's a little tougher to quantify. I get it. There's no perfect recipe for determining it.
Is it now like 2,500 hits? And by the way, why has that changed? Hitting a baseball, getting hit should not be different. You want to say, power is different now with the way the game has changed, with the smaller parks?
I think pitching's harder. I think you start with that. Pitching's tougher.
Who's next up on the 3,000 hit list? Are we even close? Is anybody close?
You hit me with a lot of questions.
I'm kind of hitting Hoff and anybody else who wants to contribute here.
They're not even blinking on the other side, so I can promise you they're not looking at that. 888. Yeah. Well, I will actually look that up. I am curious. 888. I got you. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Johnny, I loved you, but your arm sucked? I'm not going to say that.
I told Wells that he was a wise ass. He made life tough for Tory.
We got the A-game Grand Slam. Do we have the A-game Johnny Damon's arm?
I don't know if there's any highlights of the arm. No, he definitely looped it. That was the one tool he did. I'll tell you what, though. For a little guy. 6'2", 205.
And that's not little.
It's not little. Yeah, he's not Brett little Gardner. Next to some of those roid heads that he played with, but wasn't really little.
Good player, but what a great attitude. Man, I want to hang out. Remember I talked about yesterday being on vacation? I didn't really feel like I reached peak happiness.
You did
I don't
say
know if
that,
I'm ever
yes.
going to be happy.
Well, you also said you don't know if you'll ever reach peak happiness, which is a different discussion.
I want that kind of happiness.
You'll never have it.
You feel that happiness through the phone?
Yeah, but you'll never have that.
Will you have that?
Probably not.
Is it because of the millions?
No. I mean, I'm pretty happy, but listen, man. I mean, how much did Johnny make? Hold on. So Johnny,
it can't just be about the money.
No, it's not. I'm not trying to. No, I'm definitely not saying that.
He's just loving life.
Well, okay, but you, the license to love life is there.
I know, but he made me happy. Like his happiness was infectious.
Let's see. Hold on. So Johnny Damon. So was I. Johnny Damon made. I mean, $111 million.
It's a lot easier to be happy with $111 million
in the bank. It's not going to make you happy, but it can enhance the happiness.
I also
think he's just a naturally happy dude. Agreed.
And that's the difference. Yeah, and that's what I'm envious of. Because let's just say, hypothetically, we had that much money.
Yeah.
Like, would you say, okay, well, I don't want to do this job anymore.
I would do a podcast and I would coach high school baseball. That's all I would do.
And maybe that would be your happy zone. I don't know what I want.
So happy.
Like a part of me would be like, I want to go to Hawaii and live there. And then I'd
get bored after that.
And then I'd be like, no, I want to be back on the Fan.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm back on the Fan. I'm like, I don't want to deal with this. You know what I'm saying?
I know. I know what
so
you mean.
So it's not the money.
Yeah, but you don't think that he misses playing?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he sounded pretty freaking happy. He didn't sound like he missed it too much. Aside from not being with the Yankees after 2009.
If you watch this, you hear us. Could this guy ever be remotely happy? Like, when it's all said and done?
I feel like I'm a happy person. No, come on, that's not true.
I'm not going to be happy either, so don't worry about it. It's not just you.
But are we just all miserable here?
Don't speak for yourself. I'm pretty happy.
Well, I just said I'm
You're never going to be that happy, though.
Well, I admit that. I do admit that. That's probably a level of happiness I will not touch. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. He is a great guy. All right, BT and Sal back on the Fan. Fanatics Fest NYC is taking over the Javits Center. We'll be out there actually doing our show. And it's August 16th through the 18th. Right now, call their number 10 if you guys want to go and hang out, walk around, bump into some big shots like Sal. 866 or Stugatz.
You going to be there?
He might be at this rate. He thinks he's going to take over the station still. Got news for you, buddy. Not. 866-540-WFAN. 866-540-9326. That's your chance to win a four-pack of tickets and be part of the first ever immersive sports fan festival at Fanatics Fest. From our friends at Fanatics Live, visit FanaticsFest.com for the full athletic lineup. All right, Johnny Dame, it was great. Let's get back to you. Subway Series tonight. All the Jet conversation to start the show. We'll get to some Saquon Barkley Giant stuff a little later. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal. Johnny up in the Bronx. What's happening, Johnny?
What's up, boys? Love the show. How's it going?
Everything is great, buddy. Thank you. What's up?
Good. Before we start, I want to talk about the Johnny Dame. He's a great interview. But, Sal, question for you. How come you moved to Jersey? Was it more of a commuting thing? Or
yeah.
Because I don't live too far from you. I'm in Massapequa. Were you near where Gio lives over there?
Where what now?
Where Gio lives?
I was in Suffolk County. I was in Ronkonkoma on Long Island. The commuting thing was the main factor, but there were other reasons. But that, and I'm loving every second of Jersey. I got to be honest with you.
Told you.
As somebody from Long Island who loves Long Island and will always have a special place to me, if more people from Long Island knew what Jersey had to offer.
Told you.
Like, I leave in rush hour, and it's not an issue now. Rush hour from my house. From Long Island, it would take me 3 hours. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, because I actually work in the Bronx, so I'm on the road at like 5:30, so that's why I was at. Gio was out a little bit before me. Long story short, I'm a Bronx guy, but I ended up in Long Island because my wife's from Howard Beach. She took me out to the island. I should have been in Westchester. And what's funny, my brother's actually looking for a place
in Jersey. Hey, Johnny, how about you tell us about your high school playing career next? Come on, buddy. Let's go. Come on, man.
And company, and it was the barbecue you guys were at. Anyway, listen, Johnny Damon, he was an unbelievable player. Yankees, he killed us. But he also helped us in 2009. I actually want to let you guys know, too, he was on that show Below Deck. I don't know if you guys were able to ask him that. He is living the life. I want his life like you guys
did. What's Below Deck?
I don't know what that is. What is that, a fishing show?
Look it up. It's a show on Bravo. I think where you rent the yacht. God knows how much he paid for it, but he has a ball on there. He just goes crazy, but he puts back. I follow on Instagram. He does so much for the community, little kids. You guys already know all this stuff, but yeah, I mean, if he would have played a couple more years, that's definitely Hall of Fame. Regardless,
it is amazing how short he was there, John.
And thanks for the call, John. Crazy. I don't know, BT.
What?
You think
it's 3,000?
You think it's automatic?
I think a couple of championships being vital to the Red Sox breaking the curse. Right. I think they find a way to
Let
get
me
him
ask
in.
You, though.
Yep.
You think Johnny Damon was a Hall of Famer?
No.
Okay, me neither. So if he got 3,000 hits and I asked you that same question, would your answer be different? Or would it be a no, but...
It would be no, but an acknowledgement that the voting process has changed. Yeah. And the benchmark, I mean, who has 500 home runs and 3,000 knocks? That's not in.
That's what I mean. It used to aside from, Rafael Palmeiro.
Well, I'm not talking about the cheats.
Right, okay. But it used to be 500 homers, 3,000 hits.
Yes.
Was an automatic Hall of Famer.
Sure.
It's just not like that anymore.
Well, because nobody gets 3,000 hits anymore.
Yeah, well.
I mean, that's part of it. Like, I'm popping this up.
Why, is it harder to get hits all of a sudden?
No, I just think number one. No, I mean, guys get hurt more. I think they swing for the fences more, so they strike out more.
How many hits did Joe Mauer have? Did he have over 3,000?
No,
right? Yeah, okay.
No, but Joe was a power hitting catcher. Not really power hitting, more 350, 360, couple of batting titles. I mean, listen, Ted Williams doesn't have 3,000 hits.
Yeah,
he was also in World War II as a pilot.
Yeah, well, I understand. I'm just trying to go based off of some recent guys who I don't think should be Hall. Like, I don't think Joe Mauer's a Hall of Famer.
I do. I Scott actually Rowland. Do. I go back to in real time. Scott Rowland, no.
2000, yeah.
Again. No, not for Scott. I remember watching Mauer and Morneau as well. Not that I think Morneau's a Hall of Famer, but that Twins team that always played the Yankees in the playoffs, even though the Yankees always squashed them. Like, I looked at Mauer and I'm like, he feels like a Hall of Famer. Look at some of his averages, dude.
Yeah,
360.
Yeah.
It's a catcher.
What was his career average?
Nah, I don't have it in front of me.
I got it.
Free change for sure.
I got it here.
What was
it? I'm just looking at Roland and Mauer's numbers. I wanted to see. Career average, 306.
I mean, Donnie's 307. Keith is about 290-something.
He didn't strike out. Mauer would put the, you know.
Correct.
He was an old-school guy that would put the, I still never looked at him as a Hall of Famer.
I mean, it's, yeah, I can understand the other side. Listen, there's a lot of players who are in the Hall of Fame who don't have 3,000 hits, like, you know, Brooks Robinson, Pudge Rodriguez, Griffey Jr. never got there. Luke Appling is a name from years ago, obviously. Frank Robinson, I mean, he had power, but didn't have 3,000 hits. It is amazing. Roberto Clemente right on the number.
Yeah, 3,000.
That is amazing.
2,700 hits, almost 28 for Damon. I mean, that's, you know, whatever. I just don't, I never looked at him as a Hall of Famer, but I did look at him as an impactful player.
Yeah, me too.
But I also, like, to my point, I never looked at Mauer or Roland, just to name a couple, as necessarily Hall of Famers.
Yeah, I mean, did you look at Craig Biggio's Hall of Famer? The answer is no. Did you more?
I don't know,
okay,
man.
But what if Craig Biggio, instead of having 3,000-something hits, like 3,050 hits or 60, what if he had 2,876?
God, even Todd Helton only had 2,500 hits. He played in Colorado.
I know. I don't have a problem with Todd Helton getting in.
Me neither. But the fact that he only got 2,500. What was the one you were asking me before that?
Biggio. Instead of having 3,060 hits, which obviously gets him in, and you could debate still if he should be, but he is, so it doesn't matter. What if he finished with 2,893? If I say, hey, is Biggio? Most people still don't really think he's a Hall of Famer.
I think it probably put him over the top.
I agree with you. And I think that would have done the same for Johnny Damon.
He led the league in run, scored a couple of times. Yeah, I mean, but Biggio was a much more impactful player than Johnny Damon.
Not to the Red Sox fans, he wasn't. I mean, there's other things that, you know, it's a little tougher to quantify. I get it. There's no perfect recipe for determining it.
Is it now like 2,500 hits? And by the way, why has that changed? Hitting a baseball, getting hit should not be different. You want to say, you know, power is different now with the way the game has changed with the smaller parks?
I think pitching's harder. I think you start with that. Pitching's tougher.
Who's next up on the 3,000 hit list? Are we even close? Is anybody close?
You hit me with a lot of questions.
I'm kind of hitting Hoff and anybody else who wants to contribute here.
They're not even blinking on the other side, so I can promise you they're not looking at that. 888. Yeah. Well, I will actually look that up. I am curious. 888. I got you. 888-808-1019. BT and Sound on the Fan.
I'm John Aran, Pucks sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.